الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. وقال تعالى: ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس خلقا. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا، وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إن المؤمن ليدرك بحسن خلقه درجة الصائم القائم، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Sisters, friends and elders, we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who in His infinite kindness, mercy, compassion upon us has given us Iman. And above that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite kindness has kept this light and nur of Iman in our hearts. Many people come in this world with Iman and they leave this world without Iman. Many people come in this world without Iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them Iman and they leave this world with Iman. If every one of us doesn't have guarantee how we're going to leave this world. But every day if we remind ourselves of this ni'mat of Iman, of this ni'mat of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ummat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reality, the importance, the value of this will enter our hearts. As we heard from all the speakers previously, the nasihat and the advice that what is our maqsad and object for coming here? The maqsad and object, then generally when we tell people what is tasawuf, or what is tazkiyah, then the understanding of it and the reality of it, everybody doesn't understand. And generally when you stay in a community that doesn't have any ta'alluq or kabirin, then they feel it is a bid'at and is an evasion of deen. As a simple thing, as Hafiz Kaka mentioned in the beginning, that Mawla Safari Tani rahmatullah alayhi says that what is tasawuf when you come to the khanka, what you've come to the khanka for? He says, if you come here to become a wali, then this is not the place for you. But if you come here to become a human being, then this is you've come to the right place. So the effort of tasawuf and tazkiyah is how we can correct ourselves that we become such servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inside and outside is beautified. That inside and outside is beautified. When Imam Musa Qadi Sahib Damat Barakatum told me that you need to say a few words, I scratched my head and I said, "Why? What must I say?" I think I'm one of the very few people, my condition is such, one of Maitre Sahib always reminds me when he laughs at me, he says, "I think you're the only one in the madrasa that your mother came to pack your locker for you." I said, "I gave my mother ijazat to come and pack my locker for me when I started madrasa." Today we sit in front of you with the good thoughts of our Hazrat and the tawfiq given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While deciding what to speak, reading a kitab, I came across this incident of a khalifa of Hazrat Mawla Safari Thani rahmatullah alayhi. Generally when people speak of Hazrat Mawla Safari Thani rahmatullah alayhi, we think him to be strict and to be very severe. But the kitab that we read in the khanka of our Hazrat is all the kitabs of Hazrat Mawla Safari Thani rahmatullah alayhi, and how to deal with people. Adabul Ma'asharat and all these kitabs you read is from him. Etiquette and adab, how we should behave. So Dr. Abdul Hayy Harifi rahimahullah was a khalifa of Hazrat Mawla Safari Thani rahmatullah alayhi. One of his murids came to him and told him that Hazrat, alhamdulillah, I have attained the status of ihsan in my salah. I've attained the status of ihsan in my salah. What is ihsan? It's a long hadith, which is generally termed as hadith of Jibra'il. When Jibra'il alayhi salam came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a form of a human being, and with adab and etiquette, how he stood in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his knees were tucking the knees of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few questions. And among those questions, he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is ihsan? The reply that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. And if that stage cannot be attained, then you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that manner that you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. So this Mu'in came to him and told him that I've achieved this status of ihsan in my salah. So what was his reply? And this is when we sit in a company of the Allah wala and we tell them what is our condition. Then not only will they tell us that what we are doing is correct, but they take us to a higher stage also. So he says that alhamdulillah, very well and good that you've reached the stage of ihsan in your salah. But in the dealings that you have with people, in the relationship that you have with people, have you reached the stage of ihsan? Have you reached the stage of ihsan in that? Generally when Allah gives a person tawfiq and hidayat, to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and so merciful. If I look in my life in reality, how much do we think of Allah? How much do I think of Allah? How much do I am conscious of Allah? How much is the obedience of Allah in my life? Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy and kindness, gives us this opportunity to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives us reminders in our lives, and Allah brings us to occasions like this to give us a reminder that where we are and where we have to head. So, when we sit in a company of these people, then we realize how far away we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he told his murid, that how is your relation? Is that quality of ihsan in you because when you are dealing with one another? Generally when people come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you want to come close to Allah, so you concentrate on our ibadat. A person corrects his salah is far, he has to correct his salah. A person sees, our Hazrat Wala tells us, that how much of our zakat, we check to our zakat. When we are fasting in the month of Ramadan, we check what is our fasting of our month of Ramadan. Are we doing correctly? Are we staying away from sins? Are we conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we're doing our dhikr and our star, our tilawat of Quran, is our pronunciation correctly? Are we conscious of Allah? Are we aware of what we are reading? In whose company we are sitting? But generally when we are dealing with one another, when we are dealing with one another, when we are dealing with our wives, our children, how much our Hazrat Wala stresses on that? That when we're dealing, how to deal with our wives, how to deal with our children, how to deal with people that are underneath us, that we are in charge of, responsible of, are we really concerned and we really aware that I am dealing with my wife, my children, my family, the people that I know that are close to me, the people that come that may be strange to me, am I dealing with them in a way that is pleasing to Allah? Have I thought of this person in a correct manner? Have I spoke to this person in a correct manner? Have I fulfilled the needs of this person in a correct manner? In the ayah that I recited, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالدَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah explains in a part of the first part of the ayat that you have to obey Allah and His Rasul. Then Allah says, hurry, as we mentioned, as all the speakers have said, go towards the maqfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we done, go to Allah and ask for forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have prepared jannat for that person who comes towards me. For that person who is a muttaqi, who is conscious of Allah, who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah after that gives the qualities of those who are conscious, who are muttaqi, who are fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina yunfiquna fis sarra'i wad darra. That they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people in India in company and when they are alone they spend, they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally when we take akhlaq, when we take our character in dealing with somebody we take it as we must be good to a person. We must be good to a, deal with a person in a good manner. The standard and the level of akhlaq that deen has set. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. When somebody makes you angry, when somebody displeases you, you suppress your anger. Then when you see somebody, okay, generally when we do akhlaq, Allah forgive us. Imam Sahib, when he teaches, generally when he's making imamat in the masjid, making imamat, making the khidmat of deen, the mutawalli comes in front of us, you know, hey, it is mutawalli, he is responsible for me. No matter what he tells you, you keep quiet. Why? Because now you think, my risk and my sustenance is connected with him. My boss in my business, what he tells me. I have to keep quiet and bear it, what he tells me to do. But this will be a thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. That you suppress your anger. And you forgive the person who has done wrong to you. And you treat him in a better manner. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ That an evil deed and a good deed cannot be equal. And you repel an evil deed and evil action with good. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ If you have enmity between one another. The hadith is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to create love is to give hadiah to one another, to give gifts to one another. So you treat him in a manner. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned about him, that he had an uncle that never used to like him and always used to give him a hard time. So somebody asked him that, as I said, that you go to your uncle, you meet him, and he always treats you in a bad manner. He treats you in an evil way. Why do you go to him? Why do you take his abuse? So he says, you know what, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me with regards to my actions, not with regards to his actions. And they continued to such a time that they say that this uncle of him became a close associate of Hazrat Shaykh. In another case of Hazrat Shaykh, one of his students, for whatever reason, as our students, we know we take chances. So he rebuked him. And he said, how many times must I forgive you? How many times must I forgive you? Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah Ali was sitting next to him and he told Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah Ali in his ears that forgive him to the extent that you want Allah to forgive you. This is the akhlaq of akabirin tija. And under the commentary of this hadith, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah Ali mentions that see how important is akhlaq. Then in his ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first spoke about akhlaq. First spoke about dealing with people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter only spoke about his rights. Then Allah ta'ala only spoke about his rights. So when we deal, when you come to the majlis, you know, generally speaking about good akhlaq, now when we go home, family will say, but you spoke about good akhlaq. They see how you treat us. I'm in bigger trouble than you. And I have to behave even more. You came from Madras Majlis. What do you learn there? You're still the same. You're still the same. So a thing to motivate us to change our akhlaq and deal with our people, that not only we give ourselves a bad name, we give our Hazrat also a bad name. To our behavior. The level of akhlaq that is taught in deen, سِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَكْ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكْ We are taught in deen that join family relations. We come here to clean this heart. We heard about the qualities of humility, the qualities of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qualities of being conscious of our own akhlaq and condition. If we put all these things into practice, if we hear about all the qualities, the evil, the harms of pride, the harms of jealousy, the harms of malice, the harms of all these evil qualities, and we take stock of ourselves, and we see what evil qualities are within us, and if we put it in and make an effort to correct these qualities, then it will be easy for us to bring this husna khulq in our lives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that I have been sent to complete noble character. How many stories of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dealing with his wives, dealing with the kuffar of Makkah, dealing with his enemies, dealing with children. The lesson, our Hazrat always tell us, they are not stories. We normally say generally stories. He says they are lessons. These are incidents that we take lessons from. Anas radiallahu anhu comes in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 10 years old. And he served Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a very long time. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told me no, never said uff or anything. And in incident, he mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me somewhere. He said, I'm not going. But anyway, he went. He said, well, I had intention that I'm going to go. So he said, he sent me, I went. And the way I met some youngsters and I started playing with them. So after one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to see where I was. And I turned around, I see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there. He says, oh, Anas. Then I remembered. He said, I'm going now. And he went. He said, but Nabi sallallahu never reprimanded him. I remember one day Hazrat Wala asked me to do something, requested me to do something. As students, you know, we do it, we think, all right, get it done and over. But the akhlaq and character, he says, why when you, not telling me, not giving a message directly, but saying, when a person asks you to do something, the etiquette and adab of doing something, let me teach you something, the etiquette and adab of doing something is that when you finish doing that task, you inform the person that asked you to do it. Not telling you, I want you to come back and tell me if you did it. Make sure you come back here. I'm waiting for you. So you get the message. We sit in Hazrat's company. And they had the tawfiq of sitting with Hazrat at his house. And it's the season of leeches. What do we know how to eat? When we see students, we just eat. But it's also after we qualified. Hazrat peels the leeches, the top half of it. And he holds the leeches at the bottom, but on the skin. If Hazrat had to hold the whole leeches in his hand, the barakat and blessings of it would be more. But you learn from it. That not to, maybe person might feel, not feel nice at heart, the person holding something in his hand and giving it to him. So he held it at the bottom of the skin, and he presented it like that. When we sit in the company of our Hazrat and our Akabirin, this is what we learn. How to treat people. As I mentioned in one of his majalis, that Hakim Sahib mentioned about how to treat the wives. And then how he came home and how he spoke to Appa at home. These are the things that we learned. So these are the things that we need. The virtues of akhlaq are such that one of the weightiest things to be placed on the scale of a person is his akhlaq. One of the weightiest things to be placed on the person's scale is akhlaq. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir radiallahu anhu mentions a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the dearest and closest person to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who has the best akhlaq. That person who has the best akhlaq. We come here to learn this. We come here to put this in our lives. People who know us, people know our conditions. Our families know our conditions better than our friends and our close associates know our conditions better. That how we have to make an effort to improve this akhlaq of ours. That a person lives his entire life making effort in his ibadat and his salah and his zikr and his tirawat. Day of Qiyamah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. That who is a muflis? Who is a muflis? Who is a bankrupt person? Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that a person doesn't have money. Today we got money and we still say we bankrupt. Look at the condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Who is a muflis? A person who is bankrupt, no money. He says a muflis is that person on day of Qiyamah will come with a lot of rewards. Give me the mafhum of the hadith. Lot of rewards for all his salah, his ibadat, his tilawat, whatever he's done in his hajj, umrah. But there will be lines of people standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claiming their rights from him. He hurt somebody's feelings, he did down somebody here, he didn't pay the debts of somebody, he did this. And all his sawab will be given to those people as a repayment. Until he will be left with nothing. And if there are still people standing in the queue, then those people's sins will be placed on his head. So how much we have to make effort on that? And make an effort. Akhlaq is such an important thing in a person's life. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for good akhlaq. As Mahafiz Yusuf Sahib mentioned, Kaka Sahib mentioned in the beginning, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. This is a dua also in a person, Muslim dua, and a person looks into the mirror. So Allah, you have beautified my character, beautified my outside, beautify my character also. As Mahafiz Zubair Sahib mentioned now, that there's so many, and Hazrat also mentioned, that there's so many factories dealing with our outside. Our beauty. There's an whole industry about billions of rands are spent on the beauty of a person outside. Put makeup, what have you. But a person, you can put the amount of beauty on the outside. Sometimes a person will see from 5 kilometers away, he'll say, bye, I'd rather go to the other side. I'd rather take a U-turn, go somewhere. So it's not about the outside. Our Hazrat Wala and all our Kabirin, if you see in their lives, simple lifestyle. Kurta is simple, dressing is simple. In the month of Ramadan, Allah gave us the tawfiq of sitting in itikaf. I sit and watch Hazrat. Sometimes I think to myself, I mentioned to a few of the brothers, if I was in Hazrat's position, maybe I will lose it long term. Hazrat says after Maghrib, he takes one morsel, somebody asks him something. He takes another morsel, somebody has come ask him something. By the time he finishes eating, he gets up to go and make wudu, somebody walking with him to the bathroom, somebody comes with him asking the life story. With a smile, Hazrat, sabr, a smile. He takes us, every day he tells us, every day he's telling us what to do. We don't listen, yet he sees us with a smile. He treats us with good kindness. This is the akhlaq that we should have in our life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, few du'as in the end of Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihhata wal-'iffata wal-amanata wa husna al-khulq wa ar-ridha bil-qadr. That, oh Allah, I ask you for good health, I ask you for trustworthiness, I ask you for chastity and for good character, and to be happy with whatever you have placed in front of me. Allahumma hadini li ahsani al-akhlaq la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. Wa sarif anni sayyi'a la yasrifu anni. Sayyya illa. Oh Allah, I ask you to guide me towards such good akhlaq and towards good akhlaq and character. And there's nobody else that can guide me towards this besides you, Allah. And Allah, I ask you to take away from me evil character, and there's no one else who can take this away, this evil character, such an extent that you have done. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wal-nifaq wa su'il akhlaq. Oh Allah, I take protection in you from causing discord, from causing hypocrisy and evil character. Let us learn this, let us make these du'as. Let us think and look at ourselves, that when we're treating our family members, what they think of us. Hazrat Wala always tells us, ask your wife if you want, what is the true reflection of your character, your behavior? And you'll get a whole life story about it. Don't get upset about it. Take it and think to yourself, how can I change myself? What can I do better in my life? How I can become a better person? This akhlaq is something that we come here to learn. This inside quality is something that we come to improve ourselves. Mufti Yusuf Sahib, Jazai Sahib, Allah give him, Jazai Sahib has got a good close ta'alluq with my parents, you know. So I phoned them this morning, told my mother, Walida, you know, I've got to give a program, please make dua, you know. I say the right thing. You know, I talk too much. So she said, no, I'll make dua for you. So a few minutes, my father, Walida Sahib phoned me. He said, tell them who you learnt your akhlaq from. Tell them who you learnt your akhlaq from. So I said, no, I learned you right, I learned my akhlaq from him. But all the wrong things I learned from you. So he smiled, he said, don't tell them that. But let us sit in a company, let us learn from our parents, our pious priest, our Hazrat Wala teaches what akhlaq, what character. One day, just the end of one is one day he asked for an errand to pick up something. It's close to home. So I picked it up and I brought it. Without a word of lie, I think Hazrat must have mentioned 5-6 times, make maaf for inconvenience to you. Make maaf for inconvenience. When I suffered with him in Cape Town, I said he wasn't well. So I said, maaf, it brought you out, it caused you so much of taklif, you know, got sick. He says, no, I must ask you for maaf. That because I got sick, you were under pressure. Because I got sick, you were under pressure. So this is what we learn from. Allah give us the tawfiq, dear friends, sitting in the company of our kabirin, coming here, let us learn how to clean this inside of ours. It will benefit us in this world. Better of us in Qabr and Akhirah. In the ayah that I have recited, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةِ اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. How many of us worry about what this one thinks about us, what that one thinks about us? If we treat them in the best of manners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them our bosom friends in this world, and we will benefit in Akhirah. Allah give us tawfiq. Amin.